One Man's Family, winner of 42 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 25th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, The Cure. Pinky Murray's fiancée, Miss Greta Stephenson, and her grandmother have dined with the Barber family home this evening, but Pinky has not yet seen them. And now, there's a knock on Pinky's bedroom door.
Who is it? Oh, Uncle Paul. Come on in. How's the dinner party?
We missed you, Pinky. They tell me you didn't eat anything.
Orange juice, that's all I wanted. Sit down, Uncle Paul. Tell me something. Does it seem to you I have a lot more hard luck than the average Joe of your acquaintance?
Pinky, you shatter the records.
Yeah, that's the way it seems to me. I must be out of step somehow. After a while, you begin to think, hey, maybe it's me.
A profound observation, very rarely arrived at by the species known as Homo sapiens.
Homo sapiens. Is that where we get poor sap, do you suppose?
It's entirely possible.
Well, here I am, Uncle Paul. Engaged, and a success in business, with an apartment rented, and an option on a second-hand family sedan.
I didn't know that. Why an option?
Well, Greta wants to pay cash.
Oh.
Yeah, she has some kind of strict ideas, and I know where she gets them. Like tonight, for instance. Her grandmother didn't want it to come up here to the bedroom, even though we're engaged.
Well, now, wait a minute. Hold on. That was Greta's interpretation of her grandmother's wishes. But Mrs. Stephenson said, since you've been so ill, Greta may come, if you feel well enough to see her.
Huh? Well, Greta, I'll leave the door open the way they do in hotels.
Now then, what were we saying?
When? Oh, well, what I'm trying to get, Uncle Paul, where do I make my mistakes? Because I sure do want to correct them if I can get to the root of them. For instance, where was this my fault? I got cut out of CZ's will because I'm trying to do the right thing.
Sure that's the reason?
Well, look, CZ got disillusioned with me on two counts. One, when I joined the Junior Chamber of Commerce, and two, when I got engaged to Greta. But these are right things, aren't they?
Sure.
So who's wrong? You'd think there'd be a reward for doing the right thing, but all I get is a frozen boot.
Pinky, let's go back a little. How did CZ happen to decide to leave you his money in the first place?
Well, because we're brother night owls. We climbed the neon sign side by side in dinner jackets. We... Oh, I see. You mean I was out of line then.
What do you think?
Well, you can't blend two opposite extremes, I know that. I'm popular with Grandfather right now and zero with CZ. Then when I'm popular with CZ, I turn Grandfather's stomach.
So, what follows, Pinky?
Well, it all started when I was doing the wrong thing. So I can't have it both ways now that I am on the beam, is that it?
Well, the point is, what do you really want, Pinky? Down deep.
I don't know what I want.
You better find out, hadn't you? You've got a lovely gal down there.
You think so?
I think she's a knockout.
You really think so, huh?
And what's more, she loves you.
How can you tell?
Well, it's only shine in her eyes, Pinky. She can't say your name without glowing.
Gee.
And by the same token, I'm sure that if your true happiness lies in some other direction, in spending these last years with CZ, for example, I'm sure Greta would release you and recover. She's an intelligent, well-balanced, great-hearted person, Pinky. A superior girl.
Gee, I didn't know you liked her that much. And she loves me. What do you know?
Well, this doesn't surprise you, does it?
Well, you know, Uncle Paul, I'm not used to affection.
Oh, come now.
Well, that's a fact. Most of my relatives only tolerate me out of a sense of family duty. So when a blonde Viking, starchy apron Marilyn Monroe like Greta seems to love me, well, I'm not used to it. I can hardly believe it. I get a feeling it's not meant for me, really, and it won't last.
Pinky, I'm going to send her up here. You haven't really looked at Greta. That's all that's the matter with you.
Yeah? Okay. I bet she's pretty tonight, huh?
She'll rock you on your heels, young fella.
Hey, do I look right?
You will to her, Pinky.
Hey, I ought to talk to you oftener. You know something? You teach a guy to think.
That's a real compliment, Pinky.
Hey, tell her to hurry, will you?
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
The old order changes from year to year, even for the military. Compare Army life during the Civil War with that of you men in uniform today. Basic training, for example. During the Civil War, the Union Army picked its officers from the ranks of the volunteers. But since these officers were chosen on the strength of their popularity or political prestige instead of military accomplishment, it was necessary to go beyond their ranks to find officers with enough skill and capability to train the fresh troops. Fortunately, there were veterans of the Mexican War scattered through the regiments, as well as immigrants with European military service who could be pulled out as drill masters. But for the most part, the leaders were sadly lacking in training. There were no officer training schools, and the officers learned their duties from badly written manuals while they were in the field. Some regiments attempted to set up their own officer training schools, but the end results left much to be desired. As a general rule, both officers and troops started out learning together, with inadequate equipment which wasn't improved too much before the end of the war. In some instances, basic training was not only inefficient, but dangerously short. One regiment, for example, found itself fighting in the Battle of Antietam just 3 weeks after it was mustered into service. Today, however, the training of officers and men is quite a different story. During his basic training, which usually takes from 13 to 17 weeks, the soldier is acquainted with all the elements and standards of military life and is given a solid foundation for such time as he may find himself in combat. He is further given a working knowledge of all types of weapons and their operation. His basic training also serves as a physical conditioner for future assignments. After basic training is completed, the majority of the men are assigned to a regular unit to further their training. Those with the necessary qualifications may be sent to OCS if they so desire. And a few with outstanding qualifications may be sent to West Point Military Academy. Thus, the enlisted men eventually find themselves with the job for which they are most qualified and commanded by officers who have gone through extensive and comprehensive training so that they, too, may do their job well. Yes, when it comes to building a well-trained and well-informed army, you can be sure...
The collar of his peppermint stick pajamas, runs his hands over his hair, folds the top sheet carefully over his lap, and faces the open door. In a moment, his eyes mist over as he beholds a blonde vision of youth and wholesome loveliness.
Greta, I was kind of weak before, but now I'm strong.
Oh, Pinky, my poor sick boy. So flushed.
Come closer.
Well, I'm not sure I should. I have a little cold.
Who's afraid of the cold? Come sit on the edge of the bed.
Well, if you're sure it is all right.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Oh.
Your cheek is hot, Pinky.
Oh, don't let that worry you. 10 seconds from now, it may be icy cold.
Oh, no. Why are you so ill? What is wrong?
I'm sort of a medical mystery, Greta. Hank and Dr. Thompson, both of them are baffled. But don't talk about me. Hey, your ears should have been on fire.
Hmm?
Uncle Paul's been here talking about you. Says you're the absolute top. And he's a great judge of Homo sapiens.
Oh, I am proud if he likes me. I like him very much. He's much like you.
Like me?
Even Father Barber.
Take hold of my hand. Am I living?
Listen, at dinner, I think this. It is as if the good Lord took a little of the best here, a little of the best there, and said, these are nice, generous qualities to use in evolution, and I shall give them all to one young man, Pinky, to carry on to the next generation.
Hey, think it'd be okay if I kissed you.
The door is open.
That's what makes it okay. Oh, Greta.
Oh, Pinky. Pinky.
Yeah?
Are you happy?
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
In spite of everything?
In spite of everything.
Something was said tonight about Cousin Consider leaving you out of his will.
Who said it?
Pinky, something has happened that you've not confided.
Look, Greta. CZ's a nice old guy, see? I love him. He's gay, but that's it. It's all gaiety until it's monotonous. And, well, quite a while before I even met you, he got sort of disenchanted with me.
It is a good thing.
Huh?
We make our own way, Pinky. We will not worry about Cousin Consider's money, or Father Barber's money, or my grandmother's money, or the Stephenson money in Norway. We make our own. Then it lasts.
Gosh, this is great, old. I have one forever.
Certainly. And I hope we have 10 sons, all with hair like yours.
Pink?
With chins like yours, and determination like yours, and kindliness and gaiety and ambitions like yours.
Oh, boy, boy, oh, boy, oh, talk some more. That's the kind of conversation that's going to make me well.
More of the barbers in just a moment.
This is Bill Goodwin. You know, someone once said humor is the true democracy. That's why we Americans can smile when we tell the stories of the legendary heroes who helped to build our country's great institutions and industries. Like copper mining. Now, shortly after gold was discovered in California, a miner called Springfield Sam was on his way back to New England with a wagon full of gold nuggets. Crossing the Arizona desert, the heat was so bad, he headed for the mountains to cool off. But the farther he traveled, the hotter it got. Then the gold nuggets grew red hot, melted, and began to run down through the cracks in the mountains. Springfield Sam wept when he saw what was happening, and made his horses go so fast they set up a great wind which froze his tears. Then the tears turned to hail, which froze the red-hot gold before it could turn yellow. Months later, prospectors found the charred wagon, but nothing was ever heard of Springfield Sam or his horses. Only a legend? Who can say for sure? Today you can see the red-hot streaks of gold still frozen in the Arizona mountains. Only now they call it copper. Yes, it is a democracy which lets us tell stories of such legendary heroes as Springfield Sam with a twinkle in our eyes and a chuckle in our throats. And so long as we continue to laugh together as a people, ladies and gentlemen, we will live together as a nation.
It's an hour later. Paul, at work in his studio, hears racing footsteps on the stairs. And a moment later, the door bursts open, and there's Pinky, not only fully dressed, but in top coat, gloves, and Homburg.
Don't tell me you've recovered.
Yeah, Uncle Paul, may I borrow your car? Grandfather's car broke down, and Greta and her grandmother are waiting for me to take him home.
Here are the keys.
Oh, thanks.
That's a great change in a short time, Pinky. What happened?
I don't know. I had one last heat wave and one last chill. Hank took my temperature, and I'm normal. Suddenly, I feel great, oh. You're right. She's nuts about me. First time in history. And June 28th, she'll be Mrs. William Herbert Martin Pinky Murray. Boy, oh boy, am I going to be proud. Good night.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 47, Book 125, Consider makes Pinky a final proposition. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 42 national awards, now in its 25th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.